You are listening to the Ivy Podcast. Learn from the thought leaders in areas of strategy, innovation, negotiation, and all things leadership. We interview the Ivy League, Fortune 100, and top startups. Now, here's your host, John Carcy-Baev.
I'm Helen Young-Hayes, and I'm the CEO of Activate Workforce Solutions.
Helen, thank you so much for finding time to be with us today on the Ivy Podcast. Tell us a little bit more about Activate, maybe a little bit more about your background, and what motivated you to launch and start this organization?
I started Activate in part because I'm the daughter of Chinese immigrants. My parents both lost everything during World War II and became refugees. They ultimately settled in the U.S. and came over on borrowed money and full scholarships. Eventually, my mom got her PhD in chemistry and my dad got his in physics. They met, they married, and they sent four kids to Yale. So I'm the embodiment of the American dream. And I really believe in it. I believe in all the promise and the potential that is America. Another interesting part of my family is that we grew up in Mississippi. My parents moved us to a small college town where they were on the faculty. And I grew up in the heart and the heat of the civil rights movement during the 60s and the 70s when the South was experiencing great turmoil. It was hard not to be impacted by the social and economic apartheid that affected African Americans then and still to this day. And so through a combination of my strong belief and passion in the American dream and also the realization that the American dream is slipping out of grasp for so many of our neighbors, I decided to launch Activate Workforce Solutions.
Well, that's exciting. What a story. And I can relate to it on some levels where, you know, me also being an immigrant and my whole family. So that's pretty exciting. And all four kids going to Yale, that's very impressive. When you told me that, I'm still amazed. So whatever your parents did, they definitely did it right. So kudos to that. So thank you for sharing that, a little bit of a background about yourself and the organization. Diving a little bit deeper into Activate's mission and as an organization, tell us a little bit more about what particular problem are you guys solving with any the particular services or the products that you guys offer?
I founded Activate to do one thing, and that is to end poverty for individuals here in my home state of Colorado. Our mission is to help individuals achieve economic freedom through the dignity of work. And we do that by creating a business solution for a social problem. We help our customers, that is business, find and retain extraordinary talent from often overlooked populations. And so we connect individuals and job seekers with jobs, with life-changing, transformative careers. And then we help them succeed in their new careers, in their new professions through our intensive one-on-one coaching for life, professional, and financial success.
Well, that's a beautiful mission. And kudos to you guys for having so much success with, you know, that particular, you know, with the organization that you found with this amazing mission. What's the kind of the next period looking like for you? What are your shorter term goals with Activate?
When we place individuals, we perform rigorous screening and vetting and matching of them to help them realize their fullest potential and also to help them discover their dream career. So we spend a lot of time identifying individuals who are job ready, job eager, and job fit. And then we connect them with opportunities that move them to self-sufficiency and economic mobility. We are focused on job retention and professional success long-term as our metric. And we're able to increase individuals' incomes on day one at placement from under $13,000 a year to this year, $40,000 plus benefits. And so we're tripling incomes on day one, but that is not the sum total of what we do. That's just the beginning. What we're really looking for is life transformation. And that's what we achieve through our intensive coaching. We help our individuals master the habits, mindsets, and disciplines that are really necessary to be long-term successful and to crack the code to middle-class success. And so that's what we do day in and day out. We've been placing people into financial services, healthcare, business services, skilled trade apprenticeships. And this May, we launched our tuition-free IT training and employment program. So our IT training program is in partnership with a national nonprofit, which is called Perscolas. It's based in the Bronx, and it has trained and placed over 6,000 individuals from underrepresented populations into 600 employers in 13 cities. And so our near-term goal is to ramp our IT training and employment program, providing 21st century skills to our population for in-demand industry roles. And over the next 5 years, we're going to train 500 individuals and place 400 into IT professions. That's our goal on the IT side. With our other non-IT industry verticals, with healthcare, financial services, business services, and skilled trades, we are looking to place 100 individuals a year as well over the next 5 years.
Wow, that's exciting. Some very impressive numbers in terms of, you know, increasing people's incomes and really the targets as far as, you know, the placements, targeting the particular sectors such as IT. I know for a fact we can definitely help you guys as well, you know, us being on the ProSource IT side. That's what the organization specializes in, IT staffing and placements. A lot of our clients, you know, seek different types of skill sets. So definitely you and I should discuss that a little bit further. You've mentioned something around retention as you guys place these professionals, these individuals. Through the current period with so many companies going through, you know, furloughs, the downsizing, you know, the COVID impacts, what has worked well for you when it comes to employee motivation or keeping the performance levels up, especially when you guys place somebody and then the company starts going through some, you know, hard times? How does that impact the, you know, your particular consultant? I'm curious, what's the type of messaging that comes across as you guys coach these individuals?
Right. Well, an interesting statistic is that not one of our placements was laid off as a result of the COVID pandemic and the subsequent recession.
Wow.
And so through our coaching, we're actually able to really help our clients move from raw potential to realized success. Mm-hmm. And so we recognize in them work ethic, initiative, follow through, and coachability before we place them. But through our coaching, we help them convert these innate and inherent strengths into realized performance. And we do that through our coaching. We use motivational interviewing techniques, which means that we help individuals come to their own conclusions about what's important to them, what their values are, what their priorities are. And then we help them make decisions and base their actions in a way and in manners that are consistent with their priorities, their values, and their beliefs. And so it's not, our coaching is not designed for us to talk at people and to teach them something. It's designed to activate that inherent desire that they have that is consistent with their own priorities and help them order their lives in such a way that their actions help them get to their priorities and to their goals. And so we spend a lot of time focusing on professional skills, such as what does success look like in your new role? How do you measure success? How do you go above and beyond? How does one demonstrate initiative and follow through in the context of your job? How do you have a healthy relationship with your supervisor so that you're asking for and responding to feedback? How do you develop your informal peer network and social capital on the job? These are the types of professional skills that we're coaching. We also coach life skills, skills such as conflict management, stress reduction, healthy relationships, and healthy boundaries, knowing your limits, and sticking with your promises. We also, almost as importantly, teach financial skills, those skills that are really necessary to help people build an important financial cushion and then ultimately to create wealth. And so this financial cushion is so important because 40% of Americans don't have $400 that they can use to weather an emergency. And so you can imagine during the pandemic, how many millions of Americans have had their lives thrown into chaos because they have no financial cushion. And so our first goal is to teach our individuals how to save, and then beyond saving, how to move to investing. What are wise choices that you can make with every dollar that you have, whether it's paying down expensive credit card debt, whether it is investing in a 401k, or whether it's building up a 3-month emergency fund. And so we help them make decisions about finances because finances are often what derail an individual's professional journey when they don't have enough margin. And so our coaching is really designed towards the acquisition and the mastering of these types of skills. And because we are helping individuals become the best version of themselves, that shows up at work. And so they come to work very motivated and they perform. So during the pandemic, we had to add to our coaching many, many more, I'll call it tactical life and problem solving coaching sessions around how do you from a work at home environment, make sure that you've got reliable internet, make sure that you've got a reliable computer because suddenly your employer has sent you home. How do you deal with having your kids at home and no daycare if you're a single mom? And so we are helping our clients problem solve in this new era that we're in ways that we hadn't expected before, but we're helping them develop the flexibility and the adaptability to weather the pandemic and also to not just weather it, but to thrive.
Oh, that's exciting. And the coaching sounds like it's not a one-time thing that you guys do that at the very beginning and, you know, the placement happens. And then after that, you know, not much after that, because, you know, I see that a lot, but sounds like you guys, you know, coach and, you know, your guide and you partner with that particular individual or, you know, the professional throughout the entire, you know, that sounds like there is no end to this. You guys, you know, work together through, you know, as long as they need that type of support, which is outstanding.
That's right. We actually, we've created a social enterprise mm-hmm. and business pays for our services, because again, we're helping them find great employees and extraordinary talent from places that they might not normally hire from. Mm-hmm. And we help them keep that retain that talent in better than average rates compared to their existing hires, because we're identifying people who are humble, hungry, and smart, who are very ambitious, who have a strong will to succeed. And so our value proposition to our employers is we're going to help you retain valued employees at a better rate, at a higher rate than your normal experience will be. And so we charge a fee for our services to create a self-sustaining organization.
And how does that identification process happen? How do you guys spot and find or even recruit these types of individuals who want to be part of the program? And, you know, just tell us a little bit more about that process.
Right. Well, so in my prior life, I spent 20 years on Wall Street, and I managed the global and international assets at a large mutual fund company headquartered here in Denver. And so I spent 20 years spotting undervalued, overlooked potential in multi-billion dollar companies. I still do that, except that I'm spotting undervalued, overlooked potential in individuals, in people. And so, really, my secret superpower is I can spot talent. I'm great at spotting unrecognized potential. And the beauty of what we're doing at Activate is that we're really, as opposed to when I was managing money, we're not waiting passively for other investors to discover how great the story is or how great the stock is, but we are actually uncovering all the value, all the potential that was there inherently. And then as we activate that potential, the marketplace recognizes it. And so that's why we do get a tripling in income, because our individuals were unspotted potential in the eyes of the marketplace. And now that talent is being recognized. And so that's the part of the journey that is the most important step, spotting talent, recognizing potential. The way that we actually do that is our first screen, our first way to assess individuals comes through our referral process. We work with 30 nonprofit partners in Colorado who send us referrals of talent who are completing the programs that these nonprofits are operating. And so it can be immigrant and refugee services. It can be work experience programs, educational programs. It can be programs for individuals who've experienced homelessness. The whole continuum of human services and social services that serve people who are low income, they send us talent. And that's our first screen. Was someone able to embrace the opportunities within this nonprofit program? Then from there, we have multiple interviews, multiple phases of interaction with individuals to get at what are their thinking styles, relating styles, what are their drivers and motivators. And then from there, we can really discover individuals who've demonstrated that humble, hungry, and smart mentality that we're looking for. And so it's a multi-step, multi-day process, and it really is designed to help individuals reveal to us their heart for hard work and ambition.
Right. Wow, that's definitely a unique approach, and it sounds like it's almost like an ecosystem where you have the partners that identify and work with these types of individuals, and then they refer them to you guys, and you pick it up from there to provide that coaching, that guidance, and then partner with you other organizations to identify opportunities for them. So that's that's exciting.
So you're absolutely right. I'm so glad that you touched on the ecosystem aspect, because what we've done is we've created a talent ecosystem that's built on excellence. And so we've innovated in the workforce development space because, again, we are a high accountability, high performance, high expectations program. And we've brought together two seemingly disjointed parts of our economy, which is nonprofits who focus on serving individuals who are low income. And then, of course, the all important customer businesses, for profits who provide the jobs and the income and the wealth opportunities for our talent. And so we're the middlemen, we're the connective tissue in this new talent ecosystem.
I love it. And the other organization that comes to mind, I'm sure you heard of Year Up. I've recently met with them, the South Florida chapter, I guess, and seems very similar. But they work with younger young with children, the recent grads, so or the at-risk children who are either dropping out of high school or in the college and so forth. So that's kind of we had a very similar conversation as well. Seems like would love to broker that conversation as well to see a potential synergies between you guys as well. You've mentioned a little bit around your background being, spend many years on Wall Street. I'd like to talk a little bit further about, the topic of women in leadership, female executives, the female presence on boards. Those are very important and highly requested topics, especially for us here on Ivy Podcast. From your standpoint, I know it's a very loaded question. But what can you share with our female listeners when it comes to career growth and a work-life balance and anything that you wish you did during your early career stages?
Well, I have to say that I was really blessed to have a husband who's very non-traditional. And so my first bit of advice for women is find a partner who is going to be truly supportive and a real partner with you in life, in your professional journey, in raising a family. And so my husband actually became a stay-at-home dad so that I could manage the overseas and the worldwide funds that I did. And so I could travel the globe. I couldn't have done it without him. And so I guess that's my first bit of advice is choose the right partner who can really support you. He doesn't have to be a stay-at-home parent, but certainly one who's really, really involved and committed. The second bit of advice I have for women in the workplace is I guess I didn't realize I was doing this at the time, but I made myself indispensable and then I called my own shots. And so I think what that requires is just a lot of focus on making yourself indispensable and then ultimately carving out the flexibility that you need to be able to, in my case, we have five kids. We raised five kids and I needed a great husband and partner in order to be able to do that. And then I did need the flexibility that I was able to carve out. The third bit of advice I would have, and it's not just targeted at our female audience, but the third bit of advice that I would have actually for the men in the audience is mentor a woman. All of my mentors were men. And of course, I worked in Wall Street that was and still is largely populated by white men from the highest level of four-year college experiences and MBA experiences. And the male mentors in my life not only taught me everything that they knew, but they believed in me, they pushed me, and they advocated for me. And so I'm a strong believer that we're not going to solve the gender equity equation without the involvement and the commitment of men who realize that, these are their sisters and wives and daughters and mothers that they are advancing in the workforce. And so, men, let's mentor some women and teach them everything that you know, and let's pave the way for them. And so I guess one last bit of advice that I would have for anyone who's listening, is that the whole work-life balance, in my opinion, is a bit of a myth. I think that it's very easy to sort of imagine that we're going to achieve stasis at some point in our lives. And I believe it's very difficult to achieve stasis. I think instead we sort of teeter on the edge of either working way too much or having too much family or something involved. And so I guess my last bit of advice would be that, expect imperfection because there really is nothing, in my opinion, like a totally harmonious life that is full of balance. I think that there's a constant drive to achieve balance that we should have, but life is imperfect, and expecting expecting us to be able to balance it all and master it all with a big smile on our face all the time is a little bit difficult and challenging.
Right. No, that's great advice. Great advice. Thank you for sharing that. And so, Helen, last but not least, can you share with us what are you currently reading and what is one book that you always recommend to others and why?
Yeah, I'm enjoying The Making of Asian America by Erica Lee. It's really, a dense, packed history, historical account of Asians moving to the New World, dating back as far as the 1500s, and then the experience of each Asian immigrant population, the Chinese, the Japanese, Filipinos, et cetera. And it's a book that is particularly relevant at this time as we grapple with race in America and what it means to be a person of color in America. And so I love it. I'm underlining almost half of the text because it's just so rich. And also it really exposes a lot of the parallel journeys that Asians have had in their quest for equality with what Blacks and Latinos are experiencing currently. So highly relevant. I strongly recommend it. One book that I love to recommend is David Brooks' The Second Mountain. It, to a certain extent, feels a little bit like a snippet of my own journey because he talks about the quest for professional success, material success, and many of the other things that when we graduate from an Ivy League school, we're just programmed to go out and chase those things. And I certainly was blessed to be a mega money manager and travel the globe and have five kids and achieve a lot. But I have to say that this second phase of my life where I'm actually about changing the trajectory of lives, that's the most contagious, rewarding, exhilarating journey that I've ever been on. And I can't tell you how it feels to take an individual who, for example, we placed a woman who is a single mom from the Sudan, and she has two young children, moved to the US to find a better life. She is a gifted woman with a chemical engineering degree, had recently gotten a master's in information technology. And when she was referred to us, she was working part-time at the Amazon warehouse with two small kids as a single mom. We placed her into one of the largest IT employers in Colorado, and we quintupled her income. Now her life is completely different. And not only are her circumstances changed, and not only is her income different, but she is a new person. She is a person that is filled with dreams again, with optimism, with hope, and with the belief that she can achieve anything that she sets herself out to. And we just enable that to happen by being the connective tissue. And so this is so rewarding that I feel like I've achieved, or I am achieving, my second mountain.
Right. I can only imagine. And thank you for the book recommendations. And for our listeners, we'll make the authors and the titles of these books available in the episode notes. Helen, Ken, thank you enough for your time today. It was a short conversation, but personally, I learned quite a bit. Thank you for sharing all the stories and all of the things that you guys are doing at Activate. Definitely looking forward to staying in touch with you, and I appreciate your time today.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Ivy Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our RSS feed on ivypodcast.com and all major podcasting platforms like Spotify and iTunes. As always, if you enjoyed this podcast, please give us a rating on iTunes.